a United Airlines A320 makes an emergency landing in New Orleans. The FAA will issue an AD for older 737s today. And Gulfstream identifies the victims of a weekend testing accident. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 5th, 2011. Another airliner made a successful emergency landing yesterday. This time it was United Flight 497, an Airbus A320, which lost much of its electrical power and all of its instruments shortly after leaving New Orleans Louis Armstrong International Airport about 7 a.m. on a scheduled trip to San Francisco. According to ABC News, passengers said the pilot was addressing them on the intercom when he stopped mid-sentence and the cabin lights went out. ATC recordings reveal the flight crew first reported calmly that they were declaring an emergency and returning to the airport, then called again with alarm sounding to report the loss of all instruments. Touching down with 32,000 pounds of fuel and expecting reduced ability to stop and steer, the crew requested runway 10, which is over 10,000 feet long. Unfortunately, it's also under repair, and the crews and equipment couldn't be cleared in time, so vectors were provided instead for runway 19, which is only 7,000 feet long. The A320 touched down safely, but as feared, with no anti-skid braking or steering on the nose wheel. NTSB reports it ran off the left side of 19 about 2,000 feet from the approach threshold, blew the tire on the nose wheel, and dug into the turf. Emergency slides were deployed and all passengers reportedly exited without injury, although the right front slide reportedly did not inflate. The NTSB has dispatched Dan Bauer as investigator in charge and a team of technical experts. A host of other experts were en route yesterday from United Airlines, Airbus, the FAA, and a host of other entities, including even the Teamsters and the French government. A preliminary factual report is up at ntsb.gov. The FAA has told the airline industry to expect an emergency airworthiness directive today affecting older Boeing 737s, which would mandate compliance with an expected Boeing service bulletin calling for inspections for fatigue cracking in planes with high numbers of pressurization cycles. This all stems from Friday's rapid decompression on a Southwest Airlines flight over Arizona, which had a 5-foot split open up above the overhead luggage bins at 34,000 feet. There were no serious injuries in that incident, which ended in an emergency landing at Yuma. The FAA levied a fine of over $10 million against Southwest in 2008 for not performing mandated inspections for fuselage cracks in its fleet of 737s. The airline eventually settled with the agency for a $7.5 million fine, along with updated inspection guidelines. The AD is expected to mandate initial and repetitive electromagnetic inspections for fatigue damage. About 175 aircraft worldwide are affected, 75 of them in the U.S. Southwest Airlines says that by the end of the day Sunday, it had completed inspections on 21 of the 737s of the model involved in Friday's incident. 19 were found to have no evidence of fuselage cracks and were returned to service. 2 were found to have small subsurface cracks. Further evaluation and repairs will be necessary before those planes fly again. Gulfstream Aerospace has identified the 4 employees who died in the crash of a G650 during flight testing in Roswell, New Mexico, Saturday. They were experimental test pilots Kent Crenshaw, age 64, and Vivan Ragusa, age 51, and technical specialists David McCollum, 47, and Reese Olenberg, age 48. All 4 were residents of Savannah, Georgia. Company President Joe Lombardo extended sympathies to the families. Quote, "We mourn the loss of our colleagues and friends. The Gulfstream team has already rallied to support the people these men left behind, and we know that the local and aviation communities will do the same. On their behalf, we ask for your kindness, support, and understanding as they and the rest of the Gulfstream family grieve the passing of these fine professionals." Unquote. Up next on ANN, Narco Avionics closes its doors after 65 years. True North has a telecom management tool for big planes. And development of the Orion crew module continues. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 5th. I'm Paul Plack. After 65 years in operation, Narco Avionics has announced the company is closing its doors, effective immediately. The Narco website has a statement which reads, in part, quote, "A trustee will be appointed shortly to oversee liquidation of assets and assure return of customers' property, such as customers' radios sent to Narco for service, as soon as possible. We are extremely sorry for the inconvenience this causes and thank all loyal Narco customers around the world for their loyalty over all of these years. Informational updates will be provided as soon as possible," unquote. XCOM, which had recently subcontracted the manufacture of its XCOM 760 COM radio to Narco, had raved about the quality that resulted from the collaboration, but now says it will not be affected by Narco's shutdown. Michael Coates, company director of XCOM parent Xair Australia, says alternate arrangements have been made to continue production of XCOM radios in the U.S. and at an additional assembly point in Europe. Details will be forthcoming. True North Avionics has introduced what it calls the industry's first touchscreen graphical telecom display, facilitating communications management for large aircraft. The Symphony Master Control features a full-color touchscreen graphical display of all communications links and stations, enabling active management of all aircraft telecommunications functions for large aircraft. Initial installations are being performed on a variety of Airbus business aircraft by Gore Design Completions of San Antonio, Texas. True North President Mark Van Berkel explains, quote, "We've actually found a way to design a system that lets aircraft operators manage all their in-flight cabin communications from a single station, including all links and over 100 onboard handsets. While not for every type of aircraft, it's a clear demonstration of the power of our Symphony system," unquote. A related device recently introduced by the company is the first FAA-approved and DO-160-qualified wireless telephone handset using a new high-capacity lithium-ion battery technology. The company says the new battery delivers unprecedented energy density, resistance to memory effect, and slow charge loss when not in use. True North says the handset's currently being installed on a number of aircraft types, but notably an Airbus A318 Elite aircraft completed by Lufthansa Technik, and the Airbus Corporate Jet Center has also ordered units. Aerojet reports vibration and hot fire acceptance testing has been completed on the first development MR-104G monopropellant rocket engine planned for use on NASA's Orion crew module. The engine is being developed by Aerojet in conjunction with Lockheed Martin and NASA. The engines are relatively small, making 160 pounds of thrust each. 12 of them are arranged in 4 single-engine pods and 4 dual-engine pods and provide the full complement of primary and redundant control required for critical maneuvers on re-entry into the atmosphere. The MR-104 engine family originally provided in-space propulsion for the Voyager 1 and 2 and Magellan missions. Subsequent variants provided propulsion for Landsat and NOAA, as well as for other U.S. government programs. Still ahead, the University of North Dakota buys more 172s. GECAS, Turkish Airlines, and Porter Airlines all order more planes. And Eurocopter sets the first delivery for the AS350B3E. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 5th. I'm Paul Plack. Remember how it used to be when new aircraft purchases were routinely in the news? Well, they're back, so maybe things really are looking up. The aviation program at the University of North Dakota will soon have five new Cessna 172 Skyhawks in its training fleet. The university and Cessna have confirmed the order. The planes are scheduled for delivery in July and August. The order is part of a multi-year agreement between Cessna and UND's John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences to modernize the university's fleet, which will grow to include 63 Skyhawks, the largest single fleet of G-1000-equipped Skyhawks in the U.S. UND Aerospace has more than 2,000 students enrolled in its aviation program and says it will fly over 125,000 hours of flight training this year. Boeing reports finalization of an order from GECAS, that's GE Capital Aviation Services, for 10 777-300ER airliners. The order is valued at about $2.8 billion at list prices. GECAS CEO Norman Liu explains, quote, "This order adds to our existing portfolio of 777 aircraft. A key part of our strategy is to expand our long-haul product offerings to satisfy customer demand," unquote. The 777-300ER offers twin-engine economics and carries 365 passengers up to 7,930 nautical miles. With this announcement, GECAS has ordered 53 777s, including 41 of the -300ER version. Turkish Airlines, based in Istanbul, has confirmed that it has exercised options with Boeing for 15 next-gen 737s. The order includes 10 737-800s and 5 737-900ERs, with a total value at list prices of more than $1.2 billion. Boeing has received orders from 14 customers for a total of 305 737-900ERs. That's the newest member of the 737 family. The higher-capacity, longer-range derivative was launched in July 2005 and boasts 6% lower operating costs per trip and 4% lower operating costs per seat mile than competing models. Turkish Airlines CEO Dr. Temel Kotil commented, quote, "These new Boeing 737 aircraft will help us to reach even more cities and build a truly global network. We are very eager to have these new aircraft join the Turkish Airlines fleet, increasing efficiency, reliability, and passenger comfort," unquote. Porter Airlines of Toronto has placed a firm order for two Bombardier Q400 next-gen turboprop airliners. The transaction involves the conversion of two of the six options announced by Bombardier, along with Porter's firm order for four Q400 next-gen aircraft on August 6th of last year. Based on the list price for the Q400, the order is valued at about $61 million. The two aircraft will increase the total number of Q400 models ordered by Porter to 26. 20 of them are already in service. And Eurocopter's newly updated AS350B3E was officially launched at HeliExpo 2011 last month. The manufacturer now says the first delivery will be to Slave Lake Helicopters in Alberta, Canada, next year. The new version features a more powerful Turbo Mecha Aerial 2D turboshaft engine, a new digital FADEC, and an engine data recorder. Certification of the AS350B3E is expected sometime this summer. I can't remember the last time we had five of these stories in one day. Nice to see things moving again. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Casey Batterson, founder and chairman of an intriguing new charitable support group called Copters for a Cause. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.